The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
I'm not here yet. This year's conference is quite special, okay, in that I'll start teaching and there is no build up. I'll just start teaching. I mean, the very important parts of the meeting will address them from today. So if you miss today, you're almost missing the entire meeting. Amen. But it's a good thing you are here. Glory to God. Look to your left and to your right and celebrate a brother around you. Hallelujah. So, every year, I'm preaching two times today, actually. Are you ready? Every year, I bring a special teaching on healing the male child. And normally it comes in the middle of the program. But it's going to start today. We're going to start with it now. Okay? Are you here? The healing the male child session is a teaching that we use to address pressing unattended issues that guys face. Issues, matters that guys face that need to be addressed, some of which they need to be healed and delivered from. And they are not physical stuffs. They are all going on in the mind. Let me say something to you. Our generation ignores men. Women get all the attention. Now, if you're a man and you are ignored, you mustn't ignore yourself. You must pay attention to yourself, pay attention to your development, pay attention to your maturity, pay attention to everything about you. And that's why it's important that you cannot afford to not pay attention to what's happening around you. For instance, there are issues that guys face. Some people, some brothers, for instance, never felt love growing up. And those things, thank you, eventually begin to affect them. And those are the things we try to address in this Healing the Male Child series. Because, listen, there are men that beat their wives. There are men that are wicked. There are men that are many things. And those things, most times, it's not because the man decided to be like that. It's because there are issues that was not attended to. Things that were not addressed. Issues that were not fixed. And so they were allowed to grow and then eventually began to cause trouble for that child and for that man. That's why at whatever level or whatever age you are today, it's important you get what I'm going to share so that your life can become better. Today I will narrow my teaching down, this Healing the Male Child series, I will narrow it down to dealing with sexual struggles in men. Sex-related struggles is a subject that is not always addressed, and sometimes when it's addressed, it's not handled well. So we're going to deal with this issue. That's why if you're a man here and you have issues around this area, God is going to help you. I say God is going to help you. We are brothers, we'll talk. Okay, I'll talk to you like brothers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, I will start with that. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Paul said, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. Verse 19. It says, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Verse 20. He said, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So it's telling you clearly that this, your body, belongs to God. Listen, the day you got born again, it's not just your spirit that God redeemed. He also paid for your body. That's why when the rapture of the saints come, there will be the redemption of this body. This body that Jesus paid for, he will finally come take it. And we'll go with. Are you what I'm talking about? Are you following me at all? Our spirit is redeemed, but there will be the redemption of our body. So this body now belongs to God. And this is the foundation. This is why you cannot do just anything with your body. No, you can't. The idea of, it's not my body, I can do whatever with it, is actually not scriptural. It says you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spiritual goals. Put up like NLT of this verse. Like New Living Translation. For God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. So just like if I go buy this phone, I determine what to do with this phone. How to use this phone. When to use this phone. That's how your body is. You don't own your body. You don't choose what you want to do with your body. God owns that body. So he determines what he wants to do with the body. And that's one thing that you must carry your mindset as we begin to address the issue of sexual struggles. Because actually, there is, what I'm talking, calling sexual struggles is this. There is actually no genuine believer who is genuinely born again, who is growing spiritually, who has a sexual struggle and is happy with it. Are you getting me this evening? If the person is happy with it, it's because he has tried to shut down the voice of his conscience. So most times I feel the church has not handled it well. The church will come from the perspective of, don't do this. Actually, most times the guy doesn't want to do it. But it's something that has to be handled. And by the time I get into this teaching, you will see what leads to some of these things. Because nobody just becomes whatever. Nobody just grows to have problems. There are internal issues that have not been dealt with. Then all of these issues eventually begin to develop. And the guy finds himself in some kind of sexual slavery. And because nobody is addressing the issues, or we won't address the issues, we start talking with, we deal with the, because you see a full tree. There are three, there is a tree, it has leaves, it has fruits. The mistake people make is they go, they try to pluck the fruit. They try to remove the leaves. What of the roots? I get what I'm saying now. What of the thing causing that stuff? A guy grows up and becomes very sexually promiscuous. Now, if he's an unbeliever, even as unbelievers, nobody likes to be very stupid. But then even if he has chosen to be very stupid, the thing is this. Hear what I've observed. Everybody that goes deep into any sexual struggle and settles there and is not even complaining, there has been a time he complained. But after some time, he felt, I beg, he just accepted it. And maybe you are at the point where you've accepted that sexual struggle. I'd like you to get back to where you were. You have to get uncomfortable with it. Because it's not only God's plan for yourself or your life. This, your body, belongs to God. Because your deliverance from any sexual whatever will start from the moment you identify that this is a problem and this is not normal. Because what is the, because the problem, I'm talking to guys. A guy, you know the thing is, guys brag with their sexual escapades. The regular guy. A decent girl sleeps with a man. She's telling her friends. They say, hey, why did you do that now? A guy sleeps with a girl and is just seeing his friends. They're hailing him. So now you finish that girl. Ah, girl, you bad. You see, there is this thing that makes guys feel that when you are having sex with someone, that you are doing something to the person. They don't actually feel something is being done to them. They feel that doing something, I finished that girl. Are you following me? Do we want to do man of this year? So we have to talk. So you find out, it's always like that. I lived in a lodge when I was in school, my first year in school. Every time a guy comes, brings in a girl, and he's seeing the girl off, everybody's hailing him. Baba! Baba! You know, it's just this thing that makes guys feel that once you are doing something, that you're actually having a good day. And so what is meant to be a problem, they settle for it. But you know, I'll still show you as we start. You know how we do this healing the male child thing? I'll still show you that that's not actually, it didn't just develop. There are many things that makes those things develop. After this session, I'll start talking. In the next session, I'll say something about preparing you for fatherhood as a man. When we get there, you also find roles that you have to play for your children, so that some of these issues that you find in your own life will not be in their lives. Who's following me this evening? And so, the Bible says we must glorify God with our body, because our body belongs to God. So there are different sexual struggles. Romans 1 tells us, for instance, about people who have refused the natural use of their body. Bible said they had a reprobate mind, so God gave them over. God gave them over to reprobate mind, rather. Because they refused to glorify God and acknowledge Him as God, God gave them over to reprobate mind. What that simply means is they began to do crazy things. There are different categories of sexual struggles that men face. Amen. So, the first of them, and I'm going to list them so that if you are anywhere, by the time we begin to discuss, you will find how you got there. And then find how to come out of it. The first of them is the promiscuous. The promiscuous man. This man just thinks that he can have sex with any girl. Once you're a girl and you come around, he must do something with you. He has no boundaries. It's not even a matter of you are my girlfriend or you're not my girlfriend. Even when he gets married, and you see, and he still wants to go up and down doing whatever with people, because possibly somebody has told him men are polygamous in nature. You know that's a lie. I just want to correct that. Say men are polygamous. Men cannot stay with one woman. No. And so the guy is promiscuous. He feels, now when people are in this category, they are never okay with one woman in their life. They are never okay. They can have 3 girlfriends. They can have 5 girlfriends. They can have 6 girlfriends at the same time. Now this is sickness. It's not healthy. Promiscuity is not healthy. After this teaching, if you know any guy you like in your life, get this message I'm going to give to the person. Amen. You hardly have conference where they discuss these matters, but I'm here. So that is the promiscuous. This brother can, it's any girl now the way. You know the problem? He might be doing it as single. What he doesn't realize is that even when he gets married, it will not stop. Because sicknesses don't heal because you changed levels in life. They heal because you treated them. If you had diabetes, if they fly you to US, you are still diabetic. Amen. Now, different guys, different pastors have had their struggles with sexual whatever, but you must wake up and decide to face it. Apart from the whole message of change your ways, almost everybody knows change your ways. There are some people want to change their way, they just don't know how. So you must face it. So that is the promiscuous. After the promiscuous, there is the abusive man. Sexually abusive. This one, this is where you find rapists. For some reason, you must give them what they want, or they will take it by force. That's not the sign of manhood. That's not what shows that you are a man. It actually shows that you are weak. Without being born again, a man should learn how to woo a woman and convince her. Two of us. Convince her. Born again or not born again. But then this abusive man, because something is wrong with him, he just feels he must get it. Whether he breaks your hand, break your arm, whatever. And let me say this to you. If you have ever raped anybody, abused anybody in your life, now, get forgiveness from God. God has forgiven you. But then, if you can reach out to some of those people, please do and apologize. And you never try that again. The situation that abuse leaves ladies in. Now, I'm a pastor and I've been an opportunity to help a few. Some never heal. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of abuse that ladies are preaching now. Because once you do anything with a lady and both of you break up, you abuse her. That's not what I'm saying. Say amen. And I had to say that. And that's why I'm going to warn you as a man. As you are growing, you learn. I'm learning, I've learned, and I learned some time ago to be careful when you are around women. Because when they tell stories, they will believe their story. No matter how true or false it is, they will believe their story. Nobody will believe yours. Except have evidence. And sometimes no evidence. When Potiphar told this, Potiphar's wife told us, so nobody, even though that you saw it in the Bible, she was in Joseph's clothes. And Joseph was naked outside. So no evidence. That's why you must be very careful too. As well as you begin to rise in life. Now, if you've made your mistakes in the past, leave them in the past. I'll still come to that very shortly. But this state of being an abusive man is a terrible place to be. And these are things that are not discussed. Even men that rape ladies don't discuss with their fellow men. But there's something inside. I've seen cases where men prepare, a guy will prepare, stand on the road, waiting for any girl that will pass to rape the person. And they say, why is that a congee? No, it's not congee. It's sickness. Because if it is that you are very sexually aroused, that cannot control yourself, there are cheap ladies everywhere. You know what I'm saying? There are ladies that with 200 naira by month, you have your way. But that abusive thing inside will want to make you force your way and have your own people. It's a deformity. Mentally, psychologically. You are deformed. So you know the only people that are walking with one leg that are deformed. You find people do whatever, arrest them, beat them, they go back. It's just something that wants to make them force and have their way on people. On ladies. And most times, it's weak men. Because when you set fight between them and their fellow men, they can't fight. Say amen. Abusive. Of course, that is this one. People don't see it as a problem, but I'm not saying much about it. But it's an issue. The insecure. This one is so insecure, sexually insecure. Anything about sex. So even when he gets married. So most times, they don't even, they're so insecure about sex. I won't say much about that. They're so insecure about sex. Because many things have been said to them. Some don't even feel they can even do anything sexual. It might not be a problem now, but it will be a problem later. So the guy gets married. But this is not just a meeting for singles. Okay? The guy gets married. While he's in his marriage, you know, he's struggling even sexually with the wife because there's this insecurity. And some of this crazy security, I wish as we progress in this man up later, not this year, later, I will address some other things. Some crazy things that guys believe that are, and the social media pushing all this insecurity to some people. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm talking about? People don't know. Hello, you know. Some crazy insecurities. So people are falling sick. Some people have seen. I'm going to talk to you plainly. Okay? There are some men who are looking for enlargement creams. Because that is insecurity in their hearts. It's man up. But it's just that sense of insecurity is not a good thing, no. It's not a good thing. But those people are still sick. Well, so I have some more. Then there's the insecure man. There is, of course, the masturbator. So this guy, he looks like he's fine because he's not disturbing anybody, but he just satisfies himself by himself, masturbating. Let me say this to you. If you masturbate, now, from my research, 90% of men, no, 95% of men have masturbated at least once in their life. So I know you guys are looking very holy, but we are talking. But let me say this to you. It's not something you should celebrate or say it's not a problem. It's actually a problem. Are you following me? It's actually a problem. Amen. In fact, if I take it some steps further, apart from the spiritual perspective, there is the, even when you are married, there are other side effects of masturbation on men. Are you aware? Are you what I'm saying? There are other side effects. Most of these struggles about whatever, it's masturbation. Isn't it a good thing? So you can't let yourself get addicted to it. After, I'm not doing anything with anybody. Mm-mm. So that is masturbation. Of course, after that masturbation, or close to it, is the porn addict. The porn addict. Amen. Amen. I like the atmosphere. Do you? You know why I like it? When you're a pastor and you're treating real issues, you know. When you are talking to people and they know what you're saying, you know too, so we are cool. The porn addict. And you know, growing up, how many of you ever saw blue film growing up? Never watched one. Because where do you want to see it? Those days, if they see you, some of these magazines that are very, if they see you, you are hiding it. You want to watch it, you have to lock everywhere in your house. But today, on your phone. So it's become very easy to get addicted to pornography. Are you following me? It's become very easy. And don't fall for that. I have many stories of men that porn have destroyed their homes and their marriages. Apart from the fact that it's messing with your mind. And if you're addicted to porn and masturbation and you don't want to get help, it's a matter of time you begin to do the real thing. Because you mess with your mind so much. That thing is messing with your mind. Whether you're watching it as pictures, as videos, no sir. It's sexual slavery. It's slavery. And I can teach what I'm teaching you anywhere. Just one student, just two students, I can teach this same thing because I preach in secondary schools. I can tell you from just one, from primary six, we are dealing with these issues already. Yes. Just one boy. How did you start watching porn? I saw it. I opened my father's laptop one day. I know parents will lock their laptop. They think the kids don't know the password. Your kids are smarter than you are. So, I opened it, and that was from then. Every time the father keeps the system and goes out, he sneaks into the room, types in the password. So, there are real issues. Are you here? So, it's one area that we need, that people, a lot of people need help from. So, as you are talking, have you ever watched pornography? I have. Amen? I tell even my first day. Have I told this story? First day, I was using a phone. All these Java phones. Do you use Java? What's the name of that phone? I don't use Java. All those Nokia X2. I was in a Java phone. So, someone was trying to transfer stuff to me. many things, music and what have you, pictures, and he sent many. I remember where I was. It was a barber saloon stroke, a game house. I was like, I like this on your phone. Send. And then at the night, I can't forget that day, I was with, after the sent, I went for a meeting. I was with my friend Pastor Casey and Bro Franklin. And we were just having a meeting. I was just going through my phone and played that video. It wasn't supposed to be pornography. It was pornography though. But it was one story that went viral at certain times. Two people met on Togo. Remember Togo? They do Togo. So I went from Togo to go visit this guy, and then they gang raped this girl and they videoed it. I was so shocked. I had to call my friends. I was like, guys, come and see what I just saw on this phone. And like, I would just say, Jesus, just let's delete it. But you know the thing about it? We deleted it. But he didn't delete from my mind. He left the phone, but he stayed. I get the point. Everybody have their own first day. Something always pushes you to go back there and watch. The first day is to feel aqua. See what these people are doing. But something is taking you back there. Then before you know, amen. That's why if you are just going one, going to check, deal with it now before it becomes a problem. Are you following me? Your life will change. I say your life will change for the better. Then after the porn addict, we have the... So how did you come up with this list? I came up with this list because of by my plenty experiences. I didn't get this from anywhere. All people I've interacted with. So I have the pedophiles. The pedophiles. These ones are people, mature men, who somehow are attracted to underage children. Before I became a pastor, I didn't understand. It disgusts me, even till now it does. But then, as I became a pastor and began to interact with a few, heard their stories, I found that even though it's disgusting, most people, it is help they need. That's what I'm saying. It is help they need. So the pedophile has this attraction. Let me even help you, if you are here. Before I go to pedophilia for real, you don't want to change. You don't want to stop messing around sexually. Please, when you meet a girl, no matter how big her breast is, ask her age. Some of these girls are 15 years. You will go to jail. And let me tell you, you will go to jail. Because once a girl is 15, 16, 17, and you do whatever with her, even if it is consensual, you are going to jail. It's considered rape. Sexual abuse. And I will tell you, Nakawa. I'm telling you. You don't want to get bullied. You don't want to be serious with the God. Just don't go to jail. Because you will go to jail. A copper in a certain school. Real life story in Lagos. SS1 girls. They put beds. How many of you can seduce this cop? They put money. Umaka, SS1. It is one SS2. And one of the girls said, I can do it. And eventually went and did it. And I think she became pregnant. And the news came out. The copper kept explaining. Even the students came out to say it was a bet. He didn't force us. He still went in for it. The only luck he had was that NYS intervened and now said, oh, well, let's discipline him. Because, you know, it's a government property or what have you. Let's bring him internally. If not, that guy would have been in jail serving terms. Married. Be careful, though. All this control, you don't want to have it. If you go to jail, you have control, though. You have control. But then, there are pedophiles, people that have this pedophilia thing. And if you're in that category, you need to get help. It doesn't make sense that a guy, even without being a believer, everything I'm telling you here does not make sense, whether you believe or not. Whether you believe or not, you shouldn't be sexually promiscuous. Whether you believe or not, you shouldn't be abusive as a man. I guess what I'm talking about. Whether you believe or not, you shouldn't be insecure. You shouldn't be masturbating. You shouldn't be addicted to porn. You shouldn't be addicted. You shouldn't be a pedophile. Why would you? That's why you find that at the end of the day, I look at the clinic and I find out these people actually have a problem. They need help. And that's why if you're under the sound of my voice, or you ever listen to this teaching anywhere, please, I'm going to offer you help in this teaching. But then after that, follow everything I'm going to say to the later. Because you actually need help. Where there are many young women around, people in your class, are you getting the point? People in your class, people in your hostel. But then somehow it's just that small girl that is 5, that is 4. So get help. I have to help one, and glory to God. Because how they sent the guy to me, the parents sent the guy to me. I don't want to give some details. Some of you will suspect what I'm talking about. But he had gotten involved 1 or 2 times into this stuff. And one, they caught him. Second time they caught him, beat him blam black. The family of the girl wanted to press charges. So it was getting very bad. So the parents reached me. So I told them, first thing, let's move the guy from that environment. So they moved from that environment. And that's why he came down to come and stay. Just found somewhere for him to start around this Enugu. I had to go through the help. And I sat him down and I asked him, is it that you get sexually aroused and then it's only children that are around? He said no. Just that when he sees them, sees who? I got to talk about. So I just think that there is need for help. So instead of trying to do what I said, do you like? He says, not. I know it's not right. So I have to go through the process, which I'm going to show you how. So that is the pedophile. You know, there is one more, or I'll say about three more, but there is one more that people don't talk about a lot. And I don't even know if you had the word. I had to go look for the word. I saw the case. So I had to go look for the word, the meaning of it. The gerontophiles. Who has said this word before? Gerontophiles. Sexual slavery. Attracted to older women. Just as attraction for. You think it's not a real case. Real case. So go to the village. All these young boys sleeping with widows. Have you seen those things in the village? Real case. And I know one. I don't know him. But somebody was telling me about him. Once he sees older married women, he will lose it. Even in their 50s and 60s. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that, of course, you can fall in love with an older woman. It's your choice. The Bible didn't say younger people should marry older people or whichever. The Bible didn't say. I get what I'm saying. It's your choice. But when there is this crazy, why are you guys laughing? I said it's your choice. Yeah, it's really your choice. For whatever reason, you won't do that. Maybe you are 30 and you travel abroad, you want papers. You know, I saw those pictures online. I just thought Nigerians are bad. He's a very handsome 32-year-old guy. Married somebody in his 60s. Says our love will never die. Your love will never die because another woman will soon die. That's why you know. Well, that's another thing. But I'm talking about when there's this crazy, every older woman. It's crazy. Sexual slavery. So you see that kind of person. And let me tell you why this is very terrible. Most older people you know are married. And let me encourage you and advise you as a father, leave people's wife alone. Even if you don't want to be born again. Like, if you don't want to be born again, look for every unmarried. You see, wife. A man can kill because of his wife. Girlfriend is even fair. You see, wife is personal. Even if the man used to beat his wife, leave his wife for him. And people don't get help. And I'm telling you, some of my brothers know a case of a young guy. I tried to help some time ago. Of course, he wasn't available for the help. So, but things have gone wild now. Began to get involved with an older married woman. And the lady is pregnant, got pregnant for him. And it was just messy. And I'm saying this because nobody talks to guys about this thing. So every guys just have these issues and they just hold it within themselves, trying to find their way. Before you know, they just begin to even brag with it. I tell these promiscuous boys, they can brag. Say how many, say any woman at all. So he has one girlfriend that he really, really likes, but there are five other people who are servicing his engine at different times. And let me say something to you. Women can put you in trouble. I was telling you last year, strange women. Solomon wrote a full chapter about strange women. I showed you last year. They can put you in trouble. Let me say this to you. Any man that has control, that is not gone down by power and by money and by women, will succeed in life. Women, if you don't have your control, no matter whether they are children or adults or what have you, you must be able to have that control. So you watch all these movies, they try everything to bring away a great man and they cannot, they send a woman to him. What they just do is they look at the list, find out what is his sexual weakness. Should I use that? And then that's what they did to Sam. Do you know Delilah? I was reading that story recently. Do you know Delilah was specially planted by the Philistines in Samson's life? Specially. Because power, strength couldn't do it. They sent something else. I follow what I'm saying. So you find these gerontophiles. One was doing that. I think I was sharing this story with some of my friends. You know, he's into, and that's why, you know, this gerontophile thing, forget the name I'm giving, is becoming unpopular in our generation. Are you aware? Sugar mommy. Gigolos. You've heard all those kind of things? Yeah. Sugar mommy. That one was doing that rubbish with his boss. Where they are doing it. And this is very, it's annoying. Where I was living before, I had one in my compound. Not the woman was living in our compound. And the guy, this young boy, some of you have visited me, I've shown some of you. This guy, small boy, I don't think he has written jump. Coming, and that woman, I don't even know. The woman has three kids. But husband is not around. So every time, people need help. Because the problem with some of these issues is they will not just disgrace you in eternity. They will start from here. It's not just about eternity. Because this other guy was telling you, he was, I don't know whether they were in a relationship or they were planning to be in a relationship, but the woman was his boss. And they kept talking, how are you, fine? So he will carry the woman's car, go around, come back. So one of those days he was with the woman's car, driving around. He said he was just driving, and then a Hilux, you know Hilux, with another big Jeep double-crossed him. So the Hilux double-crossed him, and the Jeep just parked around him and wind down. Young man, how are you? He said, I'm fine, sir. Who owns the car you're driving? It's my boss, sir. Eventually, that woman's husband was a military general. It's my boss, sir. What are you doing with the car? They sent me a message. He brought out, for that day, God helped him. They sent him to buy something. He said, okay, fine. Let's drive to your office then. And they drove. They got there. He said, madam, see what's it? He resigned the work. That was the day he just packed. He said, I'm never going back to that office. Take your money, your job, everything. Don't let life teach you lesson, no. But you know the problem, everybody knows these things, but if it's a struggle you have to really face it and deal with it. Are you what I'm talking about? And deal with it. So you see the gerontophiles. Okay, then we have gay, the homosexuals. I feel that homosexuality is not giving the attention it needs in our generation. Even the people that want to talk about it, just lash them. I tell you what I think about homosexuals. I think they are sick, and I think they need help. The lie, the problem is that they've been lied to believe that that is how they are. And I want to say to someone, if you're struggling with that issue, that is not how you are. I don't even know how else to explain it to you. Even without the Bible, that's not how you are. The God that, even if you, without Bible, if you look at the body build of a man and a woman, you will know that the anus was not designed for penetration. So that's not how you are. I'm talking to you. I'm going to, you know, you will not do anything to me. Look at the body. Look at the design. You will know. But see what happens is, there are people, brothers, that have struggled with these issues for long and they couldn't get help. They now say, that is how we are created. And I've helped a few persons. And I can tell you what I found out in helping all of them. If you begin to track back, it might be in primary one, nursery three, but I can tell you, they always, if I run the journey with them, they can always tell you when that madness started. But it wasn't checked. That's why, again, I'm going to do a teaching on preparing for fatherhood, because fatherhood is a big deal. Most of these issues, I can tell you, not all of them, most of them, is the absence of proper fatherhood that causes this thing. And that's why, apart from all that you will learn today, as a man that wants to be a father, plan not to die young. Plan that you will be in the life of your children. And don't be a stupid person. Because sometimes it's absence of fatherhood. This is not attended to in the life of a young man. And then it develops. It grows. So the guy grows and has attraction to his fellow men. Sometimes it starts from male hostel. Because there is no woman around. They just begin to play around their body. And gradually, they grow to believe that that is how we are formed. I feel what I'm talking about. And this thing is old. It's as old as, this was the reason Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. You know, right? Sodomy, that's what it's called, Sodomy. It's as old as Sodom. And it's still like that. You can imagine, that Sodom story is interesting. Lot even brought out his two daughters and gave it to this man and said, take these two daughters, they are virgins, just sleep with them. Real life story. Have you seen that in the Bible? But just leave these two guys that came. They say, no. It's those two boys that want. And eventually those two guys were angels. And those angels are in the New Testament too. Angels that have been impacted by so many things. So when they come out, all those guys turn blind. Amen. I'm going to tell you this for free. These are issues that you need to get help from. And that's some of that in this conference. Some of the things you're going to learn from here. If you find young people around you, young guys around you, who have all these struggles, you have to step in to help. Whichever way you can. And if you have anything here struggling with, deal with them. Deal with them. There are two more issues. One, that the next one, that is prostitution. See, I can't even ask, prostitution is a men's conference. Prostitution is anytime you begin to have sex in exchange for anything. In exchange for mark, in exchange for money. So it's scarce, but there are many prostitutes. I personally believe that everybody that patronizes a prostitute is maybe one of them. So I'll write it. The prostitute. Yeah, I like teaching on things like this because we can all laugh. But as you are laughing, I know there are issues. So this guy thinks that because his body is whatever, that you have to pay him, you get the point, or give him whatever so that he can sleep with you. Yes, it's more predominant among the ladies, but then it's here too. Of course, the final issue is incest. Do you think I left out anything? Incest. People that practice incest, what are they called? Incest. Insecticides. What are they called? For real, I've never thought about that. So that is incest. So you find a young man having an affair with a sister. You find fathers having affairs with their daughters. Ah, I've seen this one in more than four. I'm not telling you. And it's not stories, not movie. I've intervened in some. And some of that, if you've done ministry for some time, you must have come in contact with some. First time I heard, I can't forget. First time I came in contact with that kind of issue, 2012. Finished everything. The young lady messaged me, I want to talk to you about something. Say what? Say, it's my father. I said, what? I don't understand. His father sick. He said, every time I'm bathing, he enters, he begins. And the mother is unaware. That's an 12. And that's what I want to say. The things that are starting small that you don't want to tackle, they will graduate to bigger matters. Because it all started by, we started having affairs with our cousins. Are you following what I'm talking about too? Cousins, stepsisters. I can tell you from my experience. Okay, my kids will go, if we all travel to the village, my kids and their female cousins will not stay in the same room. I'm a pastor. I started pastoring from a very young age. Do you understand? I know what I'm saying. Every time secondary school break, once children go back and come back, different crazy things with cousins. Because at the end of the day, it is you fathers that know that those people are cousins. The children just think that they don't know them. Yeah, that's why I'm telling them, this is, you don't know it's your cousin. That's your cousin. The children don't think like that. So cousins, then there are sister cases of brother. How many of you saw that post that went viral some time ago on Facebook? Because madness has become normal. It's trying to be normal. These two guys, the guy and the girl, opened a GoFundMe account. Who saw that? They were siblings. Did anybody see that? Yes. And they were about to get married. And they were saying that they faced a lot of opposition from culture and what have you, that they want to break the trend. They should. People are actually donating money to that account. You know, I should open GoFundMe account. Because I think I have a lot of issues for people to give money to. Why people give money to rubbish? People are donating money to that account. So these are siblings, brother and sister. How do you even feel attracted when you see your sister? How do you feel? What's attracting you? So I've seen father-daughter. I don't like talking about the father-daughter one because it doesn't... If I had not handled a few cases, I wouldn't have ever believed that it is possible. But no, sir, I have. One of the cases, thank God that issue is sorted now. The Lord told me about that. I mean the Lord, not... You know, as a man of God, I think the Lord will tell you. Even you will ask the Lord, should I say it? 2017, I was with the lady. She said, I want to tell you something. She's my very beloved daughter, actually. I want to tell you something. I said, okay. Don't worry. I said, don't worry, tell me. So she wrote something else. When she was done writing, I knew that wasn't what she wanted to tell me. So I went to prayer, and the Lord said, look at what is actually playing out. I'm not sure it's not my mind, so I didn't tell her anything. 218, 219, 220. There's something you need to tell me that you have not told me. Daddy, now, trust me, there's nothing. But I could see the whole effects. You understand? Because that, it damages a lot of things. 2020, I took 3-4 years. I'm not joking. 2017 to 2020 is how many years? 3 years. Yeah, but for me to be able to say what the Lord showed me, I say, I'm sorry if I am wrong. And my kind of person, I don't normally go direct in that kind of thing. I say, so is there anything that happened between you and... I just had to start beating up. Eventually, she said, you are talking as though you already know everything. So I'm going to tell you. What? from childhood. And it's not like, you know the problem, and this is why I'm going to say this. The man in question, whether you agree or not, it's your business, is not a bad man. Agree or not. I mean by, because I know the man. By every standard. By every standard. Great family, great man. This story I told you now. There's another story related to it. That one is around town. But this story I told you now, this was the 2017 Royal Ladies Summit. That's Chambers Foundation now. Was 2017 we did Royal Ladies Summit at an Evergreen Church in Osoka. Right? Yes. Lady came from Benue State. But there's another story. I won't share that particular one because it's closer. It's closer home, so I won't share that one. Amen. Are you here? So I'm saying all of these things to say you can get help. There are not things, and the problem is, and I want to say this again, the society must learn, not society now, I don't care about society, but men who have been empowered must learn how to help. You meet someone that is a homosexual, it's not just to laugh at the person and say, if you look my eyes, I go, woes you slap. No, that's not just what it's going to be. It's help that is needed. I follow what I'm saying. It's beyond that. It's beyond, guys, they do that rubbish, they do no near me. Well, that's the only approach some of you have to the matter. Amen. The question is, what causes these things? Every time I do Healing the Male Child series, I always try to let you know that these issues don't just develop. Generally, most of them are caused by experiences. And that's why there are experiences, there are things that happen in your life that you don't just allow to pass. Okay? You look at it again and again to make sure that not only is the experience handled, but that the effects of those experiences don't begin to play out in your life. That's why when we say, talk to somebody about your issues, don't just now, and if somebody talks to you about their issue, maybe you are a mentor or you're a father, it's not just to pass the person's back and say, it's well, it's well. There are issues that happen, that things that happen to people that alter their lives eventually. Let me give you some things. For instance, if a guy went through sexual abuse as a child, it will affect the child. Now, you know, it's only among women we talk about sexual abuse, but I can tell you, many men were abused as children. I'm a pastor, I can tell you, and if I ask you to talk now, you self know that you were abused as a child. Many people. Yes. Many men were abused as children. Many men. In their 50th, 70th, 10th year, 12th, many were abused. I follow what I'm saying. Many were abused as children. Many of them. And so when there is, like, I know some cases where an older lady, you know, will try to take advantage of a younger one, a younger guy. It's all over the place. Sometimes even in hostel situations, you find a lady in SS3 trying to do what's that they call? School murder. You know it. Yes. Try to do school murder, school something, and then abuse is taking place. So if a man that went through it, there's every chance. And that's why fathers and mothers must learn to get closer to their children and talk to them and handle those matters with wisdom. Now, what is the wisdom there? When your child gets abused, it's a digression now. Some people just focus on that guy that did that thing. If I catch him or if I catch her, you know that kind of thing, I will jail him. Oh, somebody's about to die. Of course. But you don't know that's not the major problem. The major thing is that something has been altered in the life of that child. Something has happened to his mind that may not live a very long time. Amen. Depending on how the abuse went, it may make that child become very insecure. Towards even sexually insecure. Or it may make that child become abusive. So when the child was forced, he might grow up to believe that the only way to get what you want sexually is by force. Then that produces an abusive man, produces rape. Are you guys following this evening? So it's not just about what happened to my child. Because, you know, talking about rape, for instance, there are women too that abuse. There are women that rape men. You know, we don't talk about this enough. Let me tell you why you don't hear about men being raped. It's not because it's not happening. It's because men are too shy to say it. Even if you say it, your fellow men will laugh. That's why sometimes when I hold my counseling sessions, when people tell me, sir, this and that happened, sometimes I say, how did it happen? It's not just a crazy question. I want to understand. How? And you cannot go to the police and tell the police that a girl raped you. Do you understand the problem? Except you're a minor. Do you understand? But once you say, I raped you, but men, ladies rape men. Amen. There can be the same scenario between guys and... This is a male conference. I'm just going to say everything freely. Between a guy and a lady. If it happens between the same guy and a lady... Oh, for instance, a guy is trying to have an affair with a lady and the lady is saying, no, I don't want... Of course, when a lady tells you, no, I don't want, you should not do that. Even your wife, that's what I'm saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even your wife. But then, the lady says, no, I don't want. The man tries to put, come on now, and then pressurizes the lady, and the lady eventually owns up. That lady can wake up tomorrow and say, you raped her. Do you understand what I told you now? Turn the table. The lady is trying to give to a guy. The guy said, I beg, I don't want this thing. And the lady pressurizes the guy until he gives him. That guy cannot open his mouth. This is what I'm talking about here. He can't say it. But I'm going to say to you, if you know you were at any time abused, molested as a guy, get help. And be sure that that thing has been dealt with thoroughly. If not, it's going to alter, if it has not altered something already in your life. So you find all of this there. For instance, some men that are homosexuals today, when they were in JS1 or JS2, junior class, secondary school, primary school, somebody began to touch them. An older guy. And imagine at that young age, when the mind is still fresh, that begins to happen, that child will grow. That will be the only interpretation of any sexual whatever that he knows. So he now tells you, I was created that way. No, you were not. That's what I'm saying. So, you see, abuse, sexual abuse as a child, will form this thing in the heart of children, and eventually they grow up with it, and it degenerates to so many other things. Amen. I said amen. Amen. So, healing the male child, right? This has to be dealt with. Another thing that possibly can cause some of these sexual struggles in men is when there is an early exposure to sex-related contents. And this is where many people fall in. Early exposure. A child is 5 years. A child is 10 years. A child is in JS1, JS2. That's why many men are struggling, and many human beings. Do you know why? Because these days, whether you want to be exposed to sex-related content or not, it's waiting for you on the street. It was cartoon we were told to watch before. Is it not? But now, bring cartoon. Well, I see some of these cartoons where they don't just imply sex. They do it. Cartoons. Again, I come to fatherhood. You must pay attention to what your children are watching. You don't like cartoon like me. Once you have children, you must love cartoons. Because you have to sit down with them and watch it. Or at least preview before they watch. I get what I'm saying. Are you guys getting what I'm talking about at all? Because it's that early exposure. A child begins to see things he's not meant to see when he's too young. This is a mixed class. I don't know if I should say, okay, there are some married people following, there are one or two married people here, so I can say what I want to say. That's why as you even begin to have children, as the children begin to grow, and because I know many of you are going to get married very soon. Is that true? Yes. As the children begin to grow, 3 years, 4 years, even 2 years, you cannot be having intercourse with your wife to the hearing of your children. You cannot do that. That's you are messing with the mind of those kids. Are you following me? You are. So what if we only have one room? If we live only in one room, trust God. Trust God, though. At least one bedroom flat can do. Stay in the room, stay in the parlor. But one room, God will help you. Because those children, you know the thing is, I don't know what is happening. Maybe it's because of advancement in biology, in technology and what have you. Kids are becoming wiser. Some things you could not pick when you were four. Children now are two. They pick it. Clearly understand it to you. I saw what you're doing with that auntie now. Yes. It's no longer those days where a child asks you, Mommy, how do babies come? You say, when you eat, your stomach becomes big. You can't, you say, the mommy is a lie. You can't do that. So, that early exposure to sexual contact, some of you know that this is the story. If you trace back, this is where all this madness, all the struggles started from. You watch something. That's why, if they rate a movie 18, make sure that your child that is 3 or 4 is not watching it. Because people that read the movies 18, they know what they're doing. Because, it might just be small things. In our generation now, a child that is 3 can explain how to kiss to you. You know what is happening? Something is happening to that child. And those things that he's been exposed to, that's why I'll see mention the third one. Well, I'm coming to that. So, all those sexual content are not healthy for a child. But then, that is where most of these things started from. So some of you can remember, before you turned even 10, the kind of things you've watched, the kind of things you've experienced, the kind of things, some of us, a lady was telling me the other time, was some just I said, oh, what led you to this? She said, Daddy, when I was young, we lived in a very rough compound. We are every day that talking about this, a boy and a girl, we are caught every day. How many of you grew up in that kind of environment? Yeah? Every day, a boy and a girl, they caught them. All those things. Especially in village areas. You know, it's not like anything wrong with village, but once people are, you see yard. That's what I'm saying. So, they just grow up seeing all those crazy things. You think, what do you think it does to you? What do you think it does to the child? He's beginning to understand it. So before 11, 10, I'm telling you the reason why the talk about virginity among men now is like, who is a virgin? Mm-mm. You know why it's like that? Because 11, 12, the children are too exposed. They've been, even you say, even when you expose a child to some of those crazy stuff at 18, 19, 20, first exposure, first major exposure, the child will have to control himself till he gets whenever that he gets married. But then you expose a child when he's 2 or 3. When will he stop controlling himself? When will the control end? So before you know, he begins to mess with his mind. Promiscuity here and there. So you look at all this, the promiscuity, abuse, step, sex, sin, insecurity. Amen. Somebody was sharing with me, a young lady, how the Lord delivered her. See, it's not that she has grown, that she remembers that the Lord actually delivered her. because she was small. I think it was in JS1 or so. And a friend of ours, obviously in SS1 SS2, living in the same compound, had called a lady. I was like, let's go and watch film in so person. And they entered that place. And then the girl stayed for like 2-3 minutes, stood up and said, "I'm coming." It was a plan between her and the other guy. "I'm coming," and left. Do you understand? And immediately the guy locked the door. And the girl was like, "What are you doing?" He said, she was a church. She didn't understand what was trying to happen. The next thing, the mother called from where he was, "Where is this girl?" Immediately she said, "Mommy, when I come, because open the door, let me go." That was God's deliverance. Said, it's now that she has grown up that she remembers. Say, Amen. So that early exposure is bad. It has messed with many of your lives. The third thing that can mess with people's social whatever is when they are exposed to wrong sexual orientations. And this one is very serious. Wrong sexual orientations, where they're giving wrong orientations about sex. And that's why we talk about things like sex education quite early. Do you understand? I believe that if a man begins to grow and has it as early as whatever, there's sex education at every level. Are you what I'm saying? But then, because people have wrong, some of you, what is happening to you is because of what nobody told you, whatever about sex. So the first lessons you began to learn about sex, you learned from the wrong people. So look at this. A child is growing up, and all the first thing he began to learn about sex is, "I beg, if you just find a woman, he has grown to believe that it's promiscuity. I beg, if you just find a woman, take advantage of the lady and all of that." So that sin is a big issue. I remember when I was in JS3, went to the village, and I don't know where that boy is. My brothers know this story. So we were somewhere, this guy was in JS2. Well, I think we were age mates. Maybe my being in JS3 was just because I went to school before him. So we're just there, and he was drinking. He was drinking a bottle of Star in JS2. So you're not saying I should drink. I said, no, I don't. Now, I wasn't born again, or maybe I didn't know, was I? I was just a boy raised in church. I wasn't like spiritual, but upbringing and what have you. He said, "Drink." I said, no. And then the next thing, he was with his friends, and they began to discuss women. JS2. Now, I was discussing women. I said, I was just calm. I didn't know what was happening. I felt they were lying. I didn't know. And they were really discussing. Amen. So, after that, I went home. So, the next day, I was going to buy something with my big cousin sister. I know cousin sister is not right. I just have to use that. Big. When I mean big, I mean this, my cousin is older than my elder brother. So when I mean big cousin sister, I mean real big cousin sister. So I was just walking together, and these guys saw me, and I was hailing them, and they were like, "Hey, guy, man, that was in Chester." So I was like, "My guy, I didn't get it." So the evening we say again, and my daughter his friends, "This guy just the 4 years they say no know anything." If you see one cheek, where you can, I say, "Which cheek?" "That's my big auntie, oh, auntie." Isabel, leave that one. I convinced them. But I said, even if it's not my auntie, that lady, they said, forget that one. No, nobody's small. I began to ask, you see what led me to this? I said, what is they're doing? How do you do it? Where do you do it? Do you go to the bush? And I say, what is bush? I'm a wild animal. That's why I don't have man off your can't get bush. So I asked him, "So where?" Because I was really curious. "Why in JS2? He said, "My room." I said, "Your room? In JS2? Your mommy don't used to catch you." Your elder brother. He told me something. He said, "My elder brother, which one? Those ones." He said, he said, "Do they allow us to sleep every night? It's not nice we hear every night from the different guests that they bring up. Nobody should disturb me." You see where it's coming from? So this guy had grown to believe that that is the regular. God will help you. Amen. Now, let me see if I can begin to tie this up. So, to get help from this, the first step to getting help from any of these things I mentioned is, of course, to identify that it is a problem. Because the problem is, for instance, masturbation. Some people don't say there's a problem. Say, I beg. Nothing is wrong with it. Some people don't see homosexual as a problem. Homosexuality, that's how I am. Anything you don't identify as a problem, you cannot get help from it. Because already, you think that's the normal thing. You look at promiscuity, some guys have this issue with promiscuity that they should have gotten help from, but they are bragging with it. Do you know what I'm talking about? They're bragging with it. So, boy, wait till I do that girl, no be here. Something you should be ashamed of and asking God for help. Let me say this to you. Never at any time in your life, no matter how many times you've tried to break out from something, never get to a point where you accept that thing as normal. Yes. Listen to this. No matter how long a virus has lived in your body, it's still not part of your body. It's still a virus. Are you feeling what I'm talking about? Are you guys getting me? No matter how long. No matter. I've been like this since I was small. Well, get help now. I started the way I started just to help you see that that what is happening is actually not the norm. It's not the norm. It's not the norm. Pornography is not the norm. Homosexuality is not the norm. Pedophilia, whatever, it's not the norm. Incest is not the norm. Are you following me? It's not the norm. So once you identify it as a problem, then, of course, connected to this, you must desire to break free from it. Now, on Sunday, I was showing you, where there is no strong desire, there is actually nothing that God can do. Desire, as like I said, to God is faith. Do you remember that? Do you remember that on Sunday? Once there is strong desire, I don't want this in my life again, God sees that as you believe you can break out. So there must be a strong desire. Now, hear this. I was saying that about healing on Sunday. If you've tried to get healed 500 times, and for whatever reason, you did not get it 500th time. Now, if there's another opportunity, 501, please desire again to get healed. Never because you've attempted to get help, and maybe it did not come, get comfortable with the situation. Even if you've tried to break out from this before and you failed, never go to the point where you begin to fail. Now, so it be. I beg, nothing can change it. Something can change it. To start with, it's not God's will for you. We saw the 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, 20. It says you must glorify God with your body. How does abuse glorify God? How does pedophilia glorify God? How does homosexuality, how does it glorify God? It doesn't. And no matter how you try to pretend, you know, I saw one crazy video where one lady was saying that she's gay. Have you seen that video? That the time she felt most spiritual was when she kissed a lady. Who has seen that video? I think that psychiatric rooms are not really doing a lot. We need more. Where they just have to keep on some of these guys. Because it's one thing that there is a struggle. You know, one thing that I'm going to teach, if you're very close to me, I tell my guys, tell people that are close to me, you can meet me with any struggle. What you will never meet me doing is denying or commonizing it. Hey, guy, you talk too much. Don't say, that's how I am. That's not how you are. I know what I'm talking about. You must desire to at least break free, because that's where the help comes from. Anybody I'm dealing with, let me tell you, I believe that I can help. Now, I'm anointed of God. I can help anybody. Tell me someone that is into drugs. 15 years, I will help the person come out. But the first thing I'm looking for first is desire. First thing. That's the first thing I'm looking for. Does he want to stop it? Or is he okay with it? Is he even bragging with it? Once there is that desire, it means at least you identify that something is wrong. Think of this. What am I, pastor? Just like doctors. A doctor cannot help if you don't want to get help. For all he can give you drugs and you throw it away. Are you what I'm talking about? He can say, come for a medication every 1 week, you refuse to go. So until you desire, even God cannot help you unless there is a desire. Amen. So even if I stop this teaching now, I might not have solved your problem, but I've stirred up something in you. This thing I've stirred up in you is enough to help make you get help. Because you will now go for the help. Because if young guys are taught that all these things is not the norm, when you now find it in your life, so this is not a message to actually condemn you or make you feel terrible. No. It's something that will stir you up to make you begin to look for answers. And answers are in God's word. I get what I'm saying? Don't complicate your life. Get help from God's word. Get help from God's word. No matter how this world normalizes sin, sin is still sin. You know, now in our generation, it's not a big deal to have a child out of wedlock. So you see baby mamas and baby daddies. Now, if you had a child out of wedlock, nobody's going to condemn you. Of course, at least not me. It has happened. But then, to now see it as a normal thing, where guys can even tell you, I beg, I don't want married. I just want born. Are all of you mad? You know what, marry? You just want born. Now, if something has happened as a mistake, that's if you have a child out of wedlock, it has happened as a man, go take responsibility. Are you getting me? Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a sign of weakness to have a child out of wedlock and abandon the child. Go take responsibility. It's not the child that pushed you to go and do what you did. Nothing concerned that child. That child was, we are seeing heaven, Abby. He was in your loins. And you went and did what you did. So don't put it on the child. Take care of the child. Love your child. And all of that. But then, all this idea of making it normal, that's just my. One wrote to me, say, I'm not married yet. And I think I'm overstaying. Can I go get pregnant and give birth? I say to sometimes you people plan to sin, but you want a pastor that will approve of your sin. So that you will say, I even told pastor about it too. I get the point. I said, you need a child. I said, go and adopt. Since you want to take care of somebody, go adopt. He said, no, I want a child that will come from me. I said, get mad. He said, but no, husband is not coming. I said, hey, that's where we now have to. Let's trust God for husband to come. I get the point. You're facing the wrong thing. I said, do you know what is your guarantee that if you have sex now, you get pregnant? He said, I don't. I said, that's why you keep going and going and going until eventually. No. So, decide, you know, make up your mind, have a strong desire that this has to stop. If I had time, I would have sat down to take you through the Bible. Most cases of uncontrolled sexual passion in the Bible led to generational issues that we are still having today. I give an example. Abraham and Hagar produced Ishmael, and that's how, whatever you want to make of this is fine. Ishmael came. If I proceed, who else? The children, was it Shechem, raped Dinah, Jacob's, you know that story? Jacob's daughter. Of course, Simeon and Levi got angry. They wiped out almost that entire community because of uncontrolled passion. Lot's two children daughters could not control themselves and raped their father. You see that in the Bible? Got their father drunk, raped them, they produced two children who are two abominations. Of course, eventually they produced nations. Those nations, see what I'm saying? Those nations they produced terrorized the children of Israel throughout the Bible. All those nations that terrorized Israel, that's how they came. Look for that scripture. Who are those two? I think Moab is one. Moab was one. Terrorized Israel all the days of their life. If I take you through every, whenever it's that uncontrolled sexual passion, go and look at Amnon and Tamar. Amnon lost his life for it. I get the point. So you should never, never get to any point in your life where you have a sexual struggle and you say it's normal. Desire to break free. Now, it's one thing that you are trying to break free and you are still struggling with it, but you are trying. Now we can help you. Than that you are just there dragging with it. That's why, you know, in this church, there are people in this church, some of the guys here, who I know that are not perfect. I know. But you know one reason why it's easy for me to help and to put up with people is because once I see that desire, you know, that's why, that's, of course, that's one thing accountability does. If you're a pastor, if you're a father, you have three children, and one of your child comes to you and says, Daddy, this girl was passing, and I saw her, and I got carried away, and I did whatever, and confides in you, and is crying. Will you give up on that child? You won't. That child came to talk to you. Something, you know what that thing is saying? Yeah, that thing means that I know what I did is wrong. Now, that's why I said, you don't just pass the child's back and say, it's fine, it's fine. It's not just fine. You don't have to help the child because there is something that's gone wrong. So there must be desire first. So identify it as a problem. Desire to get help. Desire to break free. And you must know, like under that desire, you must know that it is not impossible. Let me say this to you. There is no struggle that is impossible to get help from. It's not impossible to get help. Again, please be repentant, but don't allow guilt and condemnation set in. Be repentant, but don't allow guilt, don't allow condemnation. There is repentance. The Bible talks about 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Paul talked about godly sorrow. So there is godly sorrow. So, as I'm talking now, you're having godly sorrow. At least you are recognizing that, oh, this is actually wrong. That's healthy. It's a healthy kind of sorrow. But then there is condemnation. He said, now I rejoice. Not that, put up like NLT because of our time. Now I'm glad I sent it because I was talking about the letter he sent to them. The letter he was talking about was 1 Corinthians where he rebuked them very sharply for the things they did wrong. And I said, now I'm glad I sent it. Not because it hurts you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have, so you were not harmed by us in any way. Next verse. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. So there is a kind of sorrow that will produce help. I don't know what I'm talking about. But as a kind of sorrow that will destroy you. Say, there is no regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. So that is what, that's condemnation. How do you know it? Whenever a man is condemned, begins to feel like, I'm just so terrible. My life is just a mess. It talks from a place of helplessness. It focuses, and one sign of condemnation focuses on the past. I'm just a mess. I'm just terrible. I can't ever get help. That's condemnation. Repentance focuses on tomorrow. Yes, this was wrong, but from now I'm going to work on it and God is going to help me. That's the mindset. Because if you allow this to produce condemnation, if you get deep into condemnation, you will not get help. Condemnation makes you see that it is impossible to get help. But after you cry and mourn and condemn yourself, the cycle continues. So make sure you are repenting. Make sure you are getting it. But don't ever allow the devil play with your mind and drown you in that ocean of condemnation. You see what pastor is saying today? Very terrible child that you are. Do you know how many ladies you've destroyed their lives? Do you know how many people? I feel I'm saying, that way you will not get help. I've told you, where you can do restitution, do. Where you can go apologize to whoever, do. Are you getting me? But please don't let condemnation, because you will never. It's a continuous cycle where there is no help. You sin, you feel condemned. The cycle keeps going. You will never get help. God is not condemning you, so don't feel condemned. Are you following me? God is not condemning you, so don't let condemnation step in. No matter what the struggle is, as a man, there is help in God. And that help will come to you when you do not let condemnation set in. Yes, I know all the struggles, but I know that God will help you. There are many people, let me say this to you, that are not doing ministry today. Not because they are the biggest sinners, but because they allowed condemnation setting. I get to the point. Two people make the same mistake. Both of them felt bad for it. But when one eventually stopped doing ministry, stopped serving God because he's just so terrible, his life is just a mess, how did I become like this? In fact, I'm useless. He stops. The other one, despite whatever, is trying to get help, but keeps moving. Guess who God will use? The one that kept moving. Never allow condemnation, but desire to break free. So there's a thin line between godly sorrow and condemnation. Godly sorrow will lead to repentance. Condemnation will lead you away from repentance. It will destroy your life. Amen. Are you still here? We've been blessed so far, right? Again, to get help, understand God's forgiveness, I'll say that, and his empowerment to live above sin. I'll take both of them together. Understand God's forgiveness and God's empowerment. Now, if you keep thinking that God has rejected you, God has thrown you away, God is angry with you because of all the things you are doing, you'll never get help. I'd like you to know, 1 John 2 verse 1, John says, my little children, my dear children, I write unto you that you sin not. So the purpose of the plan of God that we sin not. He said, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So he said, God doesn't want you to sin. But if there is sin, know that there is forgiveness too. And so don't let the devil make you feel that you are condemned. So you must understand that God has forgiven you. And what I mean understand, I mean keep studying and realizing that God has forgiven you. I say this all the time, but I can never say it enough. Your sins are forgiven. I said your sins are forgiven. It also includes the issues you are dealing with in this meeting. God has paid. Amen. So you must understand forgiveness. People who don't understand the forgiveness we have in Christ Jesus, they keep feeling like they are enemies of God. So look at the feeling. I sin. God leaves me. I repent. God comes back. If you keep having that mentality, that cycle in your head, you never get help. Because how will you get help from a man that leaves you whenever you make mistakes? If you have a girlfriend or a wife, you have a wife, right? And you have, every time you make a mistake, she walks away. Or remove wife. Father. You have a father. You have a mother. You have some. Every time you make a mistake, the person goes. Say, I'm disowning you. He said, then I'm sorry. He comes back. Next day, he makes mistakes. I'm going. You confess, he comes back. Will you eventually trust that father or that mother? That's not the perfect picture of a father. Now, why do we think that's how God is? So, I'm leaving you. I'm done. Your body is too unholy. You didn't say, Lord, I'm sorry. He said, I'm coming back. So, imagine that back and forth. Understand gospel. Say my sins are forgiven. Do you want to shout that? Say my sins are forgiven. Say my sins are forgiven. Say I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say Jesus has paid for my sins. Say all my sins have been paid for in Christ Jesus. Say my sins are forgiven in Christ Jesus. My sins are forgiven in Christ Jesus. My struggles have been taken care of by the death of Jesus and his resurrection. And therefore, I'm not a slave to sin. My sins are forgiven. Glory to God. Do you believe those words? So you see, that's what you believe. You stand there and believe your sins are forgiven. So I said you must understand your forgiveness in Christ and God's empowerment to live above sin. Now, if you understand forgiveness in Christ as just something God did with the sins you committed, then you've not gotten the full message. Forgiveness in Christ is not just something God did with the sin you committed. Forgiveness in Christ is also what God has done to empower you above sin. So look at Romans 6 verse 6. Because that's where help begins to come from. Romans 6 verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Put up NLT. Look at this again. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. So I'm no longer a slave to sin. Now, this is where help begins to come. So you understand the forgiveness in Christ, not just as something God did to deal with the sins committed in the past, but as something that God is even doing in that he has empowered you to live above that sin. To say you are no longer a slave to sin. So when our old selves, we are crucified with Christ, not only we are our sins forgiven as it were, we are also empowered no longer be slaves to sins. So look at verse 7. Very liberating. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Have you died with Christ? Now, did he say he that is dead should be free from sin? Is that what he said? Is that what he said? Look at it again. Is that what he said? He said, he that is dead is. So you are not supposed to be free from sin. You're already free from sin. Now, that's where the freedom starts. It's here. Because it has happened. You must accept that it has happened. That it begins to work in your life. So it's not like saying, oh, when will I be free from this masturbation sin? I'd like you to know that the day Jesus forgave your sin, he already empowered you to be free from that masturbation. Already. So that's why a Christian should not say, oh boy, I know if you stop this woman matter. That's not a Christian talking. I follow what I'm talking about. A Christian should not say, I beg, this gating. Some people are created like that. You cannot help it. That's not a Christian talking. That's flesh. A Christian must say, I'm dead to sin. I've died with Christ. I am not a slave to sin. Probably like NLT of this verse. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Whatever struggle it is, help starts from here. When we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. When we died with him. Probably like message. So if you now begin to reason this way, where you now find yourself having that struggle against whatever it is, the question is not, can I ever be free? The question is, I'm already free. I need to walk in my freedom. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. It's not, can I ever stop this matter? Mm-mm. I'm already free from this. I'm not a slave to this. It's time to begin to walk in my freedom. Now, look at message. Start from verse 6. Verse 6, previous verse. Okay, this is 7. He said, could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. A decisive end to that sin, miserable life. No longer at sin's every beck and call. So I'm no longer at sin's every beck and call. He's saying there is a life you've received that you are no longer at the point where every time sin calls, you respond. Oh, shout amen, somebody. I'm no longer at the point where every time that girl comes, I'll respond. Because there are people that have issues with women. It's not really that they have issues with women. It's just that Satan has positions for women in their life that even when you have you observed sometimes when you say, okay, I'm staying clean, I'm done with this life, that time the girls you've been pursuing will start pursuing you. That the ones that be calling you, you don't even want to check up on me today. That is sin's beck and call. Amen. I'm not at longer at sin's every beck and call. That time you say I'm staying clean. In fact, for now nobody's visiting me. That's where a girl say, I'm coming to see you. Should I tell you a story? You're not around. Should I tell you a story? Are you sure? Okay. You know, when I was in school, I had this girl. Say amen. No, I'm not in a relationship. At least not that one. So, did you do the relationship in school? Yes, I did. Would you advise anybody to? Maybe not. My reasons, I'll tell you later. But it's still okay. You'll be fine. So this girl, we were talking like very well. I really liked her. And you know something? In life, one of the things you must do in life, oh, I'm already running out of myself. One of the things you must do in life is to identify when something or someone has become a weakness to you. You get what I'm saying? So I knew that this girl, you know, there's some girls that if they keep them around you, you'll not even move. I told one girl in my class, she was after my life. I told her, see, all this one, they run up and down. Because she said she wanted to visit me. I said, you're not going to visit me. So I was with her phone one day in class, and she left the phone. I pursued the cab. I said, collect your phone. He said, I'll come to us to collect. I said, don't go to my house, collect your phone. So the next day, she was now teasing me, you know. Say, I beg, this one, pastor, you don't make her come to your house. Because you know, see, if I come, all this is your church, you know, if you stand. So I looked at that girl. Now, this is not good. Okay? This is not good. So I looked at her, I said, see, all this one they do. If you come to my house naked, you will not move me. I didn't hurt the girl. She felt very terrible. So don't talk like that. Be a good man. But I thought that's how I felt in my heart. But this other girl I'm telling you about, no, it wasn't the case. Even if she comes on suits with duvet. even if she's wearing duvet and I cross my house near my life, I must shift. Because, you know, when you talk of spec, but the devil not plant your spec on your will. When you are trying to stay sexually pure, just plant your spec. So, and it wasn't a problem for me because we were not in the same city. She was still in another city, so it was really okay. Until one day, one hot afternoon, 2 p.m., around 2 p.m., hello, where are you? I said, give me direction. I'm actually very close to Abani now. What did you come to Enugu to do? What brought you? She said, when we see, we'll talk. That's the God that helps men. No, I won't tell you the full story. Oh. Is that I tell you, I've had God deliver me from this matter. Yeah, you shouldn't be at sin's every beck and call. Well, that was sin, becking and calling, whatever that means. You know, when he said, I'm coming. I said, what brought you to Enugu? He said, when we come, when I get there, you see, where am I going to stop? I said, okay, stop at Umeze Junction. If you're not born in Benue, you know what I'm talking about. So, what brought you? Well, something brought me. Now say, let me just surprise you. Sister, don't surprise me. Part of the help God offered me, and I'm going to be very plain with you, in that particular situation, was because I wasn't living alone. Say, God is good. I wasn't living alone. I was living in a room where we had about 8 to 10 of us. Did you ever live in such places? Plenty. So, well, I said that you should have told me before coming. You know, I think we'll just find somewhere and sit down and talk. But you have to go back today. She said, why? I said, I don't even have a place you can stay. And then, I'm JCB president. I can't keep a girl around. You know, I was just trying to tell her. He said, but nothing is happening in my mind. I said, who told you nothing is happening? Are you me? Why did you say nothing is good? You know, that's the same. Don't overestimate your power. Which means nothing. Who told you nothing is happening? I know myself. Something's already happened. Even as we're talking along the road, you said nothing is happening. But I didn't tell all of this. My mother, I said, don't worry. I know, I'm not saying no. Nothing's going to happen eventually. We are children of God, but you're going back today. And God did it. Yeah. Because even as at the time we found somewhere to sit down and talk, I was not even an enclosed space. I know what I'm talking about. The glory of God was hovering in the atmosphere. Now what I say, God can help you. You know, why am I telling all of this in this kind of meeting? I'm not preaching from heaven. I'm preaching from earth. You know what I'm saying? You can get help. And one of those help is come to a point where you realize that I'm no longer available at sin's every beck and call.
No, it's no longer me. And every time I'm seeing comes knocking, I will open. It's no longer me. And every time an opportunity presents itself, I'll fall for it. It's no longer me. That every time, because opportunity always come. If you run away, they will come for you. But not anymore. The opportunity will come, but you must fight. And but that fight starts from this point. Knowing that I've been empowered to live above sin. Amen. People have a proverb. People say, let me speak it this in Nsukka. I'm not asking God to help me when it has to do with someone I'm bigger than. Do you understand? But should they come? Pick anybody here you think you can beat very well. Who do you think you can beat very, very well? Okay, go to the brother. Okay. You don't do anything. Oh, God. But I did that to show you. Now, if there is someone, or maybe they said fight within Pastor Chede, and maybe gold. Gold, right? Yeah. And gold just, if I tell you, look first. That mindset that I know I'm stronger than this person will even change your approach. There is a knowing you should have in your head. I'm bigger than sin. I've been empowered above it. Now, it's a different approach from thinking that sin, we are in a combat. Are you what I'm talking about? Understand that I'm bigger. So when there is sin to deal with, it's not such a big deal that I have to. No, I'm going to win. Because I've been empowered to win. I've been empowered to live above sin. And the life of God is working in me. It's the mindset you carry. Yes, it's. So that mindset helps you. So understand forgiveness in Christ and our empowerment over sin. Of course, practical things you should now do. Please forgive anybody that played a role in getting you to this point in your life. Forgive anybody. Maybe there is a guy that talked into it. That was the first lady that molested. It's time to forgive. Remember again, anything and anyone that you've not truly forgiven, totally forgiven, you cannot get help from that particular issue. Forgiveness keeps you down. So there was a guy when you were someone that did whatever. It's time to forgive the person. The first person that gave you the Igbo that you smoke, that turned you to an Igbo smoker, it's time to forgive that person. He has done it. The deed is done. You know why I'm saying this? Because forgiveness frees you. Let me tell you why you need to forgive. Listen here, what I'm going to say. If you do not forgive the people that led you into whatever, you will keep playing the blame games. You will never take responsibility. You will never see what you did wrong in the matter. You will never see it as a problem you have to solve. So if not for this guy, will I be in this mess? Now, it's that guy has passed. Forgive the person and focus on yourself. Because it's because there is no proper forgiveness. That's why people keep blaming. If not for their brother, it's because of that girl, it's because of that one. Now, they've done their own. It's time to forgive them. And now, because everything I'm saying about fatherhood and what have you, you say it's true. If my father was there for me, if my mother was there for me, it's time to forgive all of them and let's deal with you. Because if you don't forgive people, they occupy a very serious place in your heart. And whatever you keep thinking about, you can never move on from. So, you forgive those people. And then, there is word therapy. Word therapy. Where you now begin to read the Bible like a madman. Study it. Listen to it. Confess it. You cannot break out from every kind of issue and have total healing. Not pseudo healing. Total complete healing if you don't take God's word very seriously. Psalm 119 verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So how do you hide God's word in your heart? You study it. You confess it. You meditate. So listen, there's what you want to break out from. I can put you on a 3 months word therapy session. You read the Bible every day. Listen to the message every day. Confess the word every day. Consistently, non-stop for that 3 months, that thing will lose its power in your life. I tell you. Yes. God's word is that path. Is that path. Unless you want to have pseudo, because the kind of pseudo healing people have is after this kind of meeting, then I decide I will never go back to that again. It's okay, that decision is fine, but it's not enough. But after that decision, 2 days after that decision, so okay, you might try 3 weeks, some 2 months, you find yourself back. And the Bible tells us when the demon comes back, he comes back with 7 more powerful demons than himself. So it's like the thing. That's why some people have told me. So I thought I've broken away from this thing. But after some time, the thing came back with full force. Go and stun the world. Listen, 6 months, 8 months, and somebody asked me, what if I break out from it? I've practiced this, you are saying, because I'm hearing this in the Holy Ghost now. I've practiced this before. But then, the thing stopped. After some time, it came back. I have a question for you. If you treat malaria and it stops, and after some time, malaria comes back, what do? You treat it again. That's what you do. I don't make excuse. Don't say, I beg, I've done this before, he stopped, but he came back. Treat it again. What did you stop doing for that thing to repeat itself in your life? Maybe you stayed away from God's word. It's time to go bury your head, hide God's word in your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Let me say this thing. You see the word of God and prayer. Every time there is a heightened expression of any kind of struggle, I can tell you there has been a depreciation in your study of God's word and in your prayer life. I'll say that again. Every time there is a rise in every struggle, you find yourself, the masturbation you thought you were conquering, you've gone deeper now. The first place to look is your prayer life. And how much you have been taking in God's word, confessing it, studying it. Yes. These are the 2 places. If these 2 places are okay, and yet there is a rise in some of these things, then whatever it is will be minor issues. You might just tell it to cut off some influence and it will be gone. You see the word of God, you stay on it so much. And listen to me, ministers. I'm not talking about studying it to be able to preach it. Read God's word for yourself, study it, learn for yourself and by yourself. Do you know this thing I'm teaching you and what I'm going to teach the ladies in this meeting? This healing the male child. Tomorrow or next, I'll take the ladies on healing hacks. See, in the course of this study, I had to go over everything I'm teaching you now myself again. Because you keep taking in the word. You don't give any break. Because sometimes people wonder, Daddy, I've practiced this, you say we should practice. I did it for 3 months. It left and came back. Let me remind you that whatever struggle you have possibly started from when you were a child. Maybe when you were 6. Now you are 25. That means that struggle has stayed in your life for 19 years. Formed and had roots in your mind. You can't root out those things by just hearing a 1 hour message. Are you guys following me this evening? You can't. So that's why you study the Bible, you pray, you go to church, you read the Bible, you listen to messages. Not just now, hear what I'm saying, not messages that are necessarily related to this particular matter. Mm-mm. Just taking God's word. God's word will change your life. The first thing listening to messages too much and reading the Bible and prayer does to you is that it gives you one consciousness of God. What's happened to you? After you pray and read the Bible for a long time, if you're coming out, there is a way there's this consciousness when you've just finished. That consciousness alone is enough to keep you away from sin. That, you see that? That consciousness is enough. So you begin to do what I call word therapy. Word therapy must include reading the Bible, studying it, listening to it, meditating on it, confessing it, and then doing it. This must be, if I can do a full teaching on that word therapy, because you must read, you must study, you must listen. All of them have their effects. Because when you are reading, what is engaged is your eyes. When you are listening, your ears. Taking God's word into your system. Then eventually goes in and it settles. Then you begin to meditate. You lie down, you regurgitate, you pull those words back, you go over them.
I've done what I'm telling you and I've gotten help. Listen, I've never thought of killing myself except one day. You get the point? Stupid thoughts anyway. Because if you think of killing yourself and the car is coming, you still run from the main road. But that day, you think maybe you want to kill myself because I didn't have money. I've never been bothered that I don't have money. It's never been a problem for me. Never in my life. You know? Yeah. Maybe, yeah. I've never, because I trust God so much, I tell you. Even when I didn't know much about prosperity, I know that God is going to provide for me. But that particular day, you know, have you ever disappointed yourself any day? Anybody? You did something that made you feel like, is this me? A whole you? That was the feeling that day. And I told God, I'm done. I can't keep up. I think I'm a hypocrite. I think... But to tell you that I actually don't want to kill myself, I told God, take my life as I sleep. Let me not wake up. But for real, sin can make you lose confidence. Some of you know this. Sin can it can mess with your confidence. And so what do you do? It's not that terrible feeling that will get you out of that mess. Bury your head in the word of God. Christian books, whatever. There are seasons in your life that you should heighten. Of course, you read the Bible every day. But there are seasons in your life when you are dealing with certain issues. You heighten the stuff. I get what I'm talking about. Normally you should. How about not? I don't commit medical blunder now. Normally you should take in, let's say, vitamins or whatever, right? But then, when you are now sick and you are diagnosed that you are deficient in this particular baby vitamin, they will pack a lot of it and give you. Now, that's not what you should be taking every day. But at least for that period that you are sick. Are you what I'm talking about here? You need too much of it. So sometimes somebody falls sick and we say, you need to take so much blood capsules now. Plenty vegetables. There are seasons you find yourself where you have to take more of God's word than you've been taking before. Are you what I'm talking about? When you find that there is a struggle, you do more. 3 months, 6 months regimen you put yourself on. If you need monitoring, God bless monitor you. And you will need, because not because this is how you read the Bible every day. Maybe every day you used to do one chapter. I get what I'm talking about. But now there is something to deal with. You do what therapy. You will need to study your praying until that thing, the word of God, gains dominance in your mind. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. And so you practice that. And of course, other things I'm going to say as we close. Seek external help if you have to. What, of course, you have to. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if any of you are taking any fault, let them that are spiritual restore the person in the spirit of meekness. What that means is, if you have a pastor, you should have a pastor. If you need to try to tell the person. Of course, I'm going to warn you now as a guy. Here is a general counsel away from this matter. It is not right for a guy to be open with his life to everybody. That's foolishness. I get what I'm saying? Talking to everybody about your life, about your issues. That's foolishness. You will just cause too many troubles for yourself in this life. However, the other extreme, it is not also good for a guy not to be vulnerable to anybody. That is also a sign of weakness. So there should be a level of vulnerability you have, but then mind those people. So you should have a father. Like now, I'm vulnerable to my spiritual father. I'm vulnerable to my wife. There are people that... So if there are struggles, there are people I can't tell. Look at what is happening. But foolishness is not where you're talking to everybody. Not just about sexual struggles, so every kind of struggle. You don't have money. Everybody around you knows that you don't have money. Nice one.
They will, guys gossip. Oh. Do you know? They will use that and gossip. Oh. Say, he's coming. He's coming. You know, hide your... this one, say, if you call and visit, say, this one is going to come. I don't get money to spend, though. Treat you like your child. Don't discuss your financial. If you have friends that you can talk to, let there be few.
My pastor, the wife then, my wife, a friend, or two. Don't have too many, but don't tell many people. But another, the problem is when you see guys who have issues and they keep it. If you've been trying to break out from any kind of struggle like this and it's not working, but talk to someone, then what the person will do? Now, don't think the person will give you any new advice. If you tell me, is there everything I'm telling you in this message that I will still tell you? They say, why should I now tell you? You've told me the message. That's where we will now monitor you to make sure that you now practice those things that we've been told. I get the point. Normally, you can tell yourself, I'm reading 30 chapters every day. And I say, report it every week. The first week, I missed day one. I read to day two. I forgot. Uh-huh. So, get the scenario if you need to. Of course, I've mentioned prayer. Prayer is so important. Because why prayer is important is, one, prayer will enable you to do the work. But apart from that, I've told you some of these issues, when they keep happening and become a pattern, demons can begin to monitor. Have I told you that before? Can begin to monitor those things. It now becomes an opening for the devil to get into your life. So that's why prayer is important. Where sometimes they've become satanic holes that have to be broken. That's something I've not wanted to talk about because I don't like doing all this, becoming too superstitious. But can I tell you, I've seen a sexual struggle that happened to a grandfather, happened to a father, happened to a man, happening to the children. Same pattern. Have you ever observed that kind of thing? Same pattern. Grandfather is promiscuous. Father is promiscuous. That man is promiscuous. Children are promiscuous. Now, most times, it's because of two things. One, they learned it as a pattern from them. They saw. But then again, there are spirits that are not monitoring that particular thing, making sure it continues. That's why prayer is important in dealing with patterns like this. You give yourself too much prayer. Sometimes we have to pray for you too. And of course, final thing I'm going to say, as you are getting help, as you are working on yourself, please, most importantly, not most importantly, but very important, set boundaries around your life. Let me say this to you. You see the thing about boundaries. Boundaries can be personal. Okay? There are even times I encourage people to go to the extreme with boundaries. Go to the extreme with boundaries. When you are dealing with a particular matter, go to the extreme with boundaries. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, if you notice that you are dealing with a case of pedophilia and you're trying to get help from all of this, you're talking to someone, you're taking in God's word, you're changing your mind, you're staying away, please, that's not the time to allow children to stay around you. The people may not know why, but please go to the extreme with those boundaries until you're fine. I know what I'm talking about. Until you're fine. You're dealing with a case where there's promiscuous. Tell sisters to not visit you and stand by it. Stand by it. So are you saying I'm Delilah that will push you into sin? Exactly what I'm saying. Don't visit me. Those boundaries will help you. Because see the problem with not setting boundaries, are trying to get help. You had an injury on your on this hand, and then you go get help from the pharmacy. They dress the wound and all of that. 2 days, 3 days, you hit that wound on something. What will it? It opens again and begins to bleed. Begins to heal again. After like 2-3 days, you hit on something. So once that happens, that wound will never heal. That's what happens. You're trying to get it, taking in God's word. Then one sister, whoever appears, and bam, you are down again. I get you are postponing that healing time. So that time you draw those lines and set those boundaries. 6 months, 1 year, I don't want to see anybody. But at least within that time, you'll be fine. You'll be stronger. It doesn't even mean that when you are now stronger, you now allow guests to come. You get the point? But I'm not saying you can now interact freely. But at that time, set those boundaries. There are times when things are critical. Set heavy boundaries around your life. Some people go, and I've seen it go to the extent of even their phones. There are things you can do on your phone. I don't have all the details, but the tech guys can help us. But I think there are things you can do on your phone, and your phone will not be able to access any pornographic sites. That's an idea of what I'm talking about. If any of you can help me get all those details, I'll need it by tomorrow. So I can tell people tomorrow. Who will help us do that? Anybody? Yeah, help us do that, please. You will? Yes. So that we can get those details. So that when... things, I don't have all the details. I know there's some things you can do to your phone. Your phone can never access. Those are things you can do. Shut your phone from accessing those things. Says about this, you don't ask for it. Even on Twitter, they are coming. Then leave Twitter. Same Twitter. Leave Twitter. Set those boundaries around your life. Because these things will want to complicate your life. So that you are not trying to get help, and then you are messing the help up from another angle. You know what I'm talking about? They are taking in the word. They are coming to church. They are doing whatever. Yet, yeah. Sometimes these boundaries, for instance, can be not even the sin itself, but people. If you have people, for instance, that you discuss that sin with, maybe you are struggling with homosexuality, and you have friends who people talk about it all the time. Say, it's normal. You know, people that keep discussing those things, you can never move on. That boundaries will include cutting those people off. Cutting them off. You have friends. Some that are in your room. You have roommates. You cannot change the room for now. Buy earpiece. Okay? Earpiece. Block your ear. The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedekachi. Every day. Because you're trying to break up from sexual struggle. You know guys, the way they talk in their room. Oh boy, that girl. Let me even say, build a kind of religiosity around you that people will not be free to talk about those things. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't form woke. Build a kind of religiosity around, I didn't say spiritual, religiosity around you that people will not be able to talk about. When I talk about, I went to talk with this girl. I do that girl. You tell me, what kind of rubbish, what kind of talk is that one? Say, hello, holier than thou. Yes. You are protecting yourself. So when they want to have that conversation, they say, Bishop, they here. Yes, I'm here. Don't have the conversation. Build that. It's something that has helped me. That religiosity helps. With all these wokeness people are trying to form, they're having a conversation about people having sex. You're joining. They're telling you about what they did with a girl in the room. You say, now wow. Mm-mm. Be religious. Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Be religious. When you have a roommate, one of you coming to the room, tell him, see, I will never bring any girl to come and sleep over here. You cannot bring any girl to come and sleep over in our room. Both of you have that conversation. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yes. One is even boundary for you now. Because you said you cannot, you will not. But then, again, he already knows that this one, they over. And don't, even if the person is a church person, they keep bringing up all these women, shun that thing. It's one of the ways you are setting boundaries around your life while God will give you help. I'm praying for you that by this meeting next year, you will return with a testimony. A testimony of victory. Having dealt with all these issues, you will win, you will triumph, and God will give you victory in Jesus' name. Are you blessed this evening?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.